episode 436 of the Pancakes and Power Slam show. Tonight we're going to talk about what is the best SummerSlam main event of all time. PMP Nation, Rich Mob, your choice. You get to pick what the best one is. We're going to talk about that tonight, as well as a bunch of other stuff. Let's go. Mob, are you ready? All right, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, let's do this thing. Let's go.
Yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. When we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen. So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the pancakes. It's a mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really couldn't devour him. And from that point, then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change lanes. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam show. Let's go. Turn it up.
Ladies and gentlemen, episode 436, Pancakes of Power Slam Show. I am Chris Featherstone, getting live and living color, getting funky like a monkey, if you will, baby, yeah. All right, so just got finished chatting with PCO, He's Not Human, on my unscripted episode. What's up, Christopher? No worries, thanks for dropping in, Marisa, yes. Raw and Raw Underground. Okay, I'll answer this before you go. I thought Raw Underground was boo-boo. I thought it was boo-boo. Wasn't a fan. Raw was actually decent, though. Raw was decent. It was like C-minus decent. Maybe like, yeah. The Hurt Business at the end, but losing in the beginning, a bit odd to me. Probably like a C minus. Yeah, a little bit below average, I would say. Yeah. All right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Boo, boo. What's up, Aaron? All right. So we'll talk about the best. We'll talk about your favorite SummerSlam at the end. And yeah, man, it's I was jumping right into here after my interview with PCO on Unscripted. So PNP Nation, how is everybody doing tonight? We are live and we're going to have a lot of fun as we do always. Y'all know how it is. Y'all know how it's been and it's going to be like that for the foreseeable future. This is the PNP Lounge, baby. This is the PNP Lounge. We're going to hang out for the next hour and a little bit, hour and tax. We're going to talk about some headlines and then the flavor of the week. Yeah. If I remember, give me your Raw and SmackDown grades. We always forget about the Raw and SmackDown because, you know, just reviewing Raw SmackDown is boring. I like the headlines. I like talking to the PNP Nation. I like talking about the flavor of the week. I like giving trivia. Speaking of trivia, I think I got something for y'all. Speaking of trivia. I think I got something for y'all. Let's see. I got something for y'all. Let's do this one. Who did The Undertaker defeat at SummerSlam 2002? Who did The Undertaker? The Undertaker. Who did The Undertaker defeat at SummerSlam 2002? It's so funny because Dolph, you know, he's a Ohio guy, fellow Ohio guy, and he's a wrestler, and we actually saw that. We actually saw that he could wrestle, he could go. If the Raw Underground had a championship, Dolph Ziggler would be the Raw Underground champion because he was impressive with his wrestling. So, Kelvin Test. This is a test. Also, Antoine Test. Yes, this is a test. Absolutely. One more. Who were the competitors in the IC title ladder match at SummerSlam 1998? Who were the competitors in the IC title ladder match at SummerSlam 1998, actually. SummerSlam 1998. SummerSlam 1998. SummerSlam 1998. Oh, Aaron. Triple H and The Rock. I don't know why. I just want to continue to announce and pronounce people's names like Vince McMahon. Triple H and The Rock. It's like an episode of Attitude Era Raw. Or in this very ring. In this corner, you have Triple H. And in this corner, you have The Rock. That's right, Kevin. That's right, Alonzo. Absolutely. Yes, it was, Mo. Absolutely. The Rock. Yes, it was a ladder match. Absolutely good stuff. It absolutely was a ladder match. And it was actually one of my favorite ladder matches. I really enjoyed that ladder match. It was awesome. All right. P PNP Nation. Yep, Robbie. Razor and Sean. As Chad would say, quoting Scott Hall, "Hey, yo, it's survey time." all right, some Ask Chris questions. You know I love me some Ask Chris questions. So let's start with Kyle. Who do you want to see go on Raw Underground? I think Riddle would be good. I want to see nobody because I want it to be gone. you know, in the very beginning of it, I was slightly intrigued because there were names that were like PC guys. And so I was willing to give it a chance because there was like PC guys, like Babatunde, right? So if something like a Raw Underground was to highlight Babatunde, I'm cool with that, you know. But the problem with that is you got like Dolph Ziggler going in there, and I mean Eric from the Viking Raiders made sense, but still, I still think it would have been better if it was just like the PC guys. If it was to make Babatunde look like a monster, that would have been really good actually, because he would have just Raw Underground was for the purposes of making someone, pushing someone, making them look good. So if you had Babatunde come in there and start beating up people, so you had like PC guys kind of in the beginning beating up people, and then you have Babatunde come in and start and beat the person who beat a couple guys, and then beat him, annihilate him, and then beat a few more people. So if Babatunde was the reason why Raw Underground occurred, I would be okay with that. But it wasn't. It was just another failed project. So wasn't a fan at all. We're about to do headlines, so hashtag headlines. Yeah, Chad, it almost ruined Raw. And Raw was very ruinable. It wasn't very good. It was a little bit subpar. It was below average. C minus, like I said. Decent, and I was being nice, so it was more like a C average. Below C, C minus, I would say. So we're going to talk about the XFL and the headlines. Address some Ask Chris questions first. Okay, so Alonzo, this vigilante group. Okay. WWE doesn't do a good job following through on hypes. Okay, so as we saw it with Raw, Shane McMahon was hyped to being returned, which could have been really good, but instead, he was wasted on Raw Underground. So that was bad. So that didn't deliver. And then they started plugging this group. And we see some Molotov cocktails thrown at a generator. Okay. So it was like the ninjas. it was kind of stupid. So if it's kind of like a Nexus type thing, I'm intrigued mildly. Okay. So I was hearing some, could have, you know, there was some female, like one female. I heard like one of them was could have been Dominic Dijakovic. So if it's a bunch of ex NXT guys, coming up to make a statement, perhaps I would be interested. Maybe. But Dijakovic in a faction, I think they pigeonholed him by calling him that, actually. He should have been Dijak. He should have been Donovan Dijak with a gimmick. And they made him Dominic Dijakovic with some type of foreign gimmick-ish in the beginning. And then nothing. Just kind of dropped. So, yeah, Dominic Dijakovic in a faction, in a vigilante faction, just doesn't seem, just doesn't sound right whatsoever. Dijakovic on the, and I've interviewed Dijak on my show. He's a really nice guy. But him in that Dijakovic pigeonhole on the main roster just seems like a ready-made disaster for me. I just don't see it working. I would repackage him like nobody's business. And if I could give Dijak some advice, I would gain more weight. Definitely. He's like a very agile, skinny, tall guy. I would gain probably about 20 more pounds at least. And cause I think the thing is with Dijak is that really good in the ring, super duper solid. I've had Keith Lee on my show and he said, Dijak is undoubtedly his favorite, opponent. And you can tell, I mean, they've had plenty of indie shows and you can tell that on NXT, you know, that they work so well together. But yeah, if I was Vince McMahon, I would have Dijak gain about 20 pounds because he needs some girth on him. He's a tall, very much in shape. But I think he's too small. I think he's too thin to really make that type of presence. And I definitely would repackage him, you know, gain about 20 pounds and just be Donovan Dijak, or if you want to just make him something different. He's a tall, athletic dude, and you have a ready-made package of whatever you want to make it to be, but at the same time, it's just right now, I don't think that he's just not ready to be packaged well. I mean, he's not ready for the main roster for what we saw. Tons of potential. I would make him a big star if coming into the main roster. But if he comes in this way, his shelf life is going to be very, very thin. It's going to be short, quite short if he comes in this way. Let me see any Ask Chris questions anymore. Yeah, I know Chris Dijak's his real name, but Chris Dijak doesn't really seem like a, just doesn't really seem like intimidating, you know, Chris Dijak. Like, it doesn't really seem like someone of his stature, you know, especially if he gains weight. Chris Dijak wouldn't be a good idea for him. That's a good question, Alonzo. Yeah, and then speaking of D'Lo Madden, they made him look like an idiot last night. Like you do all this, he actually stands toe to toe with Brock Lesnar, and tall dude, good shape, athletic. I've actually saw him live in an NXT show. He can go. Got a bunch of talent, came from Booker T's camp. And so he's got a ton of talent, man. He's a big dude. Like, he's a big dude. I've seen him live. He is a big dude. And tall and big. And you can, another ready-made package. You know, and he didn't have to gain weight. He's a big dude. And but good shape, though. And so Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me why you would just make D.O. Madden look like an idiot. If anything, I would have D.O. Madden join the Hurt Business. I think he was ready made to do that. I think he would be a really good candidate of the Hurt Business. And the thing is, D.O. Madden, to me, I like D.O. Madden as a face, but I would bring him in as the Hurt Business as a heel, and then kind of branch off to a babyface on his own. I think that's a good way to really. Right now, you need to build stars. I think D.O. Madden's a star. I think he has a ton of potential. I would have him come in as the Hurt Business. And then I would have some animosity. And you can really get to the point where you book Dio versus Bobby Lashley. I mean, that would be a really good match down the line. You know, even from, WrestleMania season, like probably right after WrestleMania. It's 8 months to WrestleMania? So you've got time. You've got plenty of time. You could really be building stars at this time. One of my matches for WrestleMania I want is Bobby Lashley versus the Big Show, only because I want Bobby Lashley to look like something. I mean, he's been losing WrestleMania matches. I mean, his moment was the what was that, 23, when he was when Vince's chosen one to go against. Ooh, my God. He was Donald Trump's chosen one to go against Vince's chosen one, which is ooh, my God. So that was his moment. That was Lashley's, WrestleMania moment. But he was still like a auxiliary, to the Vince and Trump feud. It wasn't a Lashley thing. It was a Vince and Trump thing. So I think Lashley needs to have his moment. Again, I prefer Lashley as a babyface. I want him to be. But if they're doing this and they're going to continue to do it, I would have him be U.S. champion. I'm a big Apollo Crews fan, but I think that he should be. I think it's all about star power. It's all about larger than life you want WrestleMania to be. And I think Lashley would have that larger than life quality when it comes to the U.S. championship. And I would have him go over the Big Show. I would have the Big Show beat him. And so, no, I would have him beat the Big Show. I would have him beat the Big Show. Because you can easily build the angle around, can Lashley put Big Show in the full Nelson? And that's it. You can easily do that. He can try one time throughout weeks and Big Show's breaking it. And then, at WrestleMania, he locks him in Nelson. So, I mean, you could easily build a feud around that for WrestleMania. But yeah, I mean, you can even have D.O. Madden be a part of the Hurt Business at this time. And then after Mania, you can have Lashley, you can put the heat on Lashley, make him look good at Mania for the purposes of branching D.O. Madden out and having that be a feud going into, going into SummerSlam. So D.O. Madden's got a bunch of potential. That seems like something that people would latch onto instead of all the boring redundancy that we see every week. I just thought of that. Why can't WWE do the same? All right. What I think of Drew's promo. I loved it. Yeah, it was great. It was great. I'm wondering if it was scripted. I wonder if it was scripted or if it was a bullet point type of thing. I am not quite sure. I'm wondering. Which ones, if it was scripted or not. It would seem as if it was scripted, because just about everything in WWE is scripted nowadays. But it did seem like maybe Drew had some influence in that promo. It was pretty good. All right. Any Ask Chris questions? James. So given them Randy Orton beat Benoit to become youngest WWE champion in history, is he allowed to mention that on TV or no cause of Benoit? That's a good question. Yeah, I mean, they won't. He's black. I mean, Benoit's blacklisted. So, I mean, he's just totally blacklisted. So they won't mention him at all. Not at all. He is totally blacklisted. Kelvin's asking, who do you think will beat Bayley and Sasha for the Women's Tag Team Championship? Love these questions. Some really good questions tonight. It seems like Bliss is kind of branching off from Nikki Cross. By the way, I enjoyed SmackDown. SmackDown was good. I liked it. I liked the twist at the end. I really liked it. It was intrigue. I mean, you actually had the Fiend give Alexa Bliss the mandible. That was good, man. I was really intrigued. I liked the fact how he kind of, you know, rose it up and just kind of slowly, you know, it was good, man, because we're thinking like, no, there's no way that WWE is going to allow a male to be physical with the female in that sense. No way. And then when he actually did it, I was like, oh, nice. That was actually, I liked the build. I liked the slow, you know, it was good, man. I liked it. So that kind of takes Bliss and Cross away, right? Iconics are heels. So that is that. It really seems like the best option right now is a Riot Squad, which I wouldn't be opposed to. If they're building the Riot Squad, I'm cool with that. So, yeah, why not? Riot Squad. No more Kabuki Warriors because Kairi's gone or leaving. Or I think she's gone now, but at least leaving. So no Kabuki Warriors, no more Bliss and Cross. Who else do you have? Iconics or heels? That's really it. So Riot Squad's all you have really right now. So there you go. Which Marissa, I just answered that. So good follow-up question. Yeah, I like it. I'm cool with it. Why not? I mean, Ruby Riot's was on a losing streak for months, and Liv Morgan, they were trying to do a bunch of different stuff with her. I like Liv Morgan, though, man. I think she has a ton of potential. I really like her. I think she can be a top babyface. I think she's got a ton of potential, man. If I was on the writing staff, if I was head writer of Raw, I would do something with Liv Morgan for the rest of the year, like a top name. Like for me, 2021 is the year of Bianca Belair. I would hands down, if I was, see, I would book a many months in advance. You know, I would be like, Gato, you know, in New Japan, he books months and a year in advance. So I would do that. And so I would have, so right now, if I had a meeting, I would say, okay, look, 2021, Bianca Belair, all right, period. The rest of this year, I would really make Liv Morgan a star, a top babyface. I would have Bianca Belair kind of waiting in the wings, have her moment be at Royal Rumble, and I would have her win it, actually. And I would really focus around Liv Morgan, and I'm a big Asuka fan too. I think Asuka's huge. I think Asuka's incredible. She's my favorite competitor on Raw. So I mean, as far as women's competitor, so yeah, I would have like Liv Morgan like a top star. So here's the thing, I would really make her look good, and I'm fine with the tag titles on the Riot Squad to make Liv look good. I'm cool with it. I'm cool with the lengthy run too. Ideally, I would say Riot Squad as baby faces win it, and then Iconics like win it probably like Royal Rumble time, and then you do a Iconics versus Riot Squad match at WrestleMania, which makes sense because you've been feuding them now. I mean, you've the Riot Squad's been feuding with the Iconics, so it just makes perfect sense if this extends over to Mania. So yeah, that would definitely be my women's tag match at Mania would be the Iconics versus the Riot Squad. Shane is asking, heard AEW was showing shows a different day and time because of TNT. Do you think this was her AEW? Yeah, I mean, I think it could. It just depends on when. I think you know Wednesday nights is perfect because it really seems competitive with the Wednesday Night Wars, and so that competition helps. So, yeah, if that is the case, I think that would hurt them for sure. I'm cool with this, Brendan. I'm getting the straps to Survivor Series. See, and the thing is, I would even. Because essentially you don't really have you really don't have a top babyface team right now if Bliss and Cross are splitting. Yeah, you really don't. So I mean, even in NXT, right? I mean, you can throw two people together like they did with like Tegan Knox and Shotzi Blackheart, but I mean, they're not tag team championship quality at this point. So yeah, I would even do it possibly beforehand. I would do like, again, that's in November. That's 3 months from now. I would do probably like a September. I'd probably do like a Night of Champions type of deal. I would have them win at Night of Champions next month. And then they keep it for 4 months, and then Iconics win at Royal Rumble, and then Iconics keep it until Mania. Absolutely. We'll talk about The Rock, XFL, the headlines. Hashtag X Chris. I did see Luchasaurus lose his mask. He tried to play it off. Lacey Evans does. James is asking, given that Bobby Lashley is using the master lock, do you think it would be a good idea for WWE to bring Chris Masters a feud with Lashley over who has the best master lock? They did that already. Yeah. And I think Lashley was the first one to break the master lock, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So, yeah. This is a good question. Too many stables? No, not necessarily, because I like New Japan. New Japan has stable, has 1,800 stables. So yeah, I like, it's kind of a New Japan feel to me. If the stable works, I'm cool with it. And I think the Hurt Business has potential. So yeah, absolutely. What else we got? We got some good X Chris questions. Hashtag X Chris. We'll talk about The Rock and XFL in the headlines. Aaron's asking, do you think someone else could be Abigail? I think Bliss is already a star. WWE needs to build a woman talent. So, well, it seems like they're making her Abigail. I think there's some life to that, that it was Alexa Bliss the whole time. I think that would be an interesting twist to her character. You know, she's been kind of sitting in that babyface tag team role for a while. I'm not opposed to it. I'm not the big fan of like this person has to turn heel, this person has to turn face. I think that's a kind of a knee jerk reaction to bad booking. If you're creative enough, you can make someone intriguing. So I think with Bliss, though, if this is leading to her being Sister Abigail, I mean, I don't know how they're going to make it that way. I think it was kind of weird that she was Abigail during the Swamp match, but I do get it. I do get the fact that it seemed like it was an kind of like a figment of his imagination, so to speak, you know, because of their Team Little Big type of Mixed Max Challenge thing. So I get that, but if they're actually trying to make Alexa Bliss Sister Abigail, I don't know if I like that. How about they make JoJo Sister Abigail? Do it now. Do it for you. Make JoJo Sister Abigail. Now, I think a good Sister Abigail would actually be Daphne. Shannon, Daphne. I think Daphne would be a good Sister Abigail. As far as Bliss, though, it just doesn't make sense of how they would incorporate that. As far as like Alexa Bliss, this whole time was Sister Abigail, but she really did her own thing and became a star. But she's Sister Abigail. That it just doesn't make sense how they would put that together. I don't know how that makes sense. Hey, hashtag. What's the hashtag? Dr. Chris for Booker, for Raw Booker, Dr. Chris Book Raw. Make that a hashtag. Do I think MVP will add another member of the Hurt Business? Yeah, I mean, possibly. I mean, like I said, I think Dio Madden should be a member for the purposes of post-WrestleMania branching off to be a big babyface and have a U.S. title feud with Lashley. I'd be totally cool with that. I think I'd be totally cool with that. Lacey Evans and Natalya are heels. So I can't think of another babyface team right now. Speaking of Zelina Vega, who do you think poisoned Bianca Belair's husband? It's one of those Molotov cocktails, man. It's one of those vigilante people. Although, Shannon, yeah, it could be one of those, you know, but it could have been just a one-off thing. It could have been just one of them, Andrade or Garza. It could have been. Let's see. I think there was another one that I think there was, I saw a birthday shout out somewhere. See, that's why you got a hashtag Ask Chris, because I appreciate y'all. The chats, the comments are swarming, and so if you hashtag Ask Chris, that would stick out. What are your thoughts on Seth Rollins versus Dominik Mysterio SummerSlam? I like it. I like Dominik a lot. I think he's got a ton of potential, man. I like how he's growing. I like how he's learning. I really like the interaction last year at Survivor Series with Brock Lesnar and against Rey, which I really liked that match. I liked the story that went behind it. It made Rey Mysterio look like a main eventer, and then Dominik being involved in it too, it made him look good too. I really liked that angle, and this is the second year that a Dominik and Rey Mysterio angle has been successful, because I've actually liked Dominik in this angle too. So I like the Dominik-Rey tandem, and so I've heard that, you know, it could be because it was like a handshake deal and Rey could be on AEW, but I like AEW, but I mean, at this point, you're kind of just you're kind of throwing things at the wall and see if it sticks. I mean, Arian Andrew, like, I mean, look, I've interviewed Arian, okay, and she is super nice. Like, I like Arian. like as a person from my exchange with her, from, you know, she's go look at my archives. I've interviewed her, talked to her beforehand. You know, I usually talk to people beforehand. And she was like super nice. So as a person, I know that people say that, you know, she's snobby and blah, blah, blah. But as far as my experience is concerned, my personal relationship, you know, professional, personal conversation I've had with Arian was very, very positive. So that aside, she's never been the one who was known for wrestling. So just bringing her back in AEW, I was like, huh. Okay. You know, so, and then we'll see with, you know, Matt Cardona, we'll see. I just hope they don't get to the point where they're just like another TNA, like, cause TNA did that for a little bit. They just start bringing people, like ex WWE people. They just start just bringing everybody and just seeing what sticks. And so, you know, I'm hoping that AEW, if they do that, I'm not, you know, I'm all for ex-WWE people having jobs because they have livelihoods and they want to wrestle. So I'm totally cool with that. But at the same time, it's like, don't just bring them in just to bring them in. Like, do something with them. Because if it's just a lateral move, it's not going to do anything. Like Sean Spears, for instance. Sean Spears is just about a lateral move. Like, they really haven't done anything with him. They even tried to put him with Tully, and it still didn't work. So we've seen, like, as a matter of fact, he was even more when he was a babyface, Perfect 10, Ty Dillinger. He was actually in a better state than he is now. So it may not even be a lateral move. It might be a demotion, you know, for Sean Spears. So I would even argue that someone like a Pac, I mean, they hardly ever use him. I mean, I know that there's travel and stuff, but there's some people who aren't. It hasn't been an increase. It hasn't been a promotion going to AEW. How would I do the Bayley and Sasha match? See, there's the thing. Like, it doesn't even seem like that's going to be a thing anymore. Like, if anything, probably I would do like if they're going to do it, I would do it without it being a championship involved. I would do it at Mania. Without a title. I don't think a title is necessary in the Bayley-Sasha feud. Now, I'm all for championships being on the line, but Bayley's had it for so long, and I highly doubt that she's going to keep it for 8 more months. Sasha, it wouldn't make sense. I mean, I don't see her being Raw champ for long. So, yeah, I don't see it, man. What I would do is I would have Bayley and Sasha lose the titles to the Riot Squad at Night of Champions. That's sow some seeds. Now, as far as I remember, they're on opposite brands. Now, they could be on the same brand, but I thought Sasha was legit on Raw and Bayley was legit on SmackDown. That roster stuff is just confusing, but I guess you would have to make it them be on the same brand if they do split, because if they lose the Raw Tag Team Championships and they're on opposite brands, they would have to split. So I would have them be on the same brand. I would have them be on SmackDown. And so what I would do is I would have, you know, the seeds being planted at, you know, next month. And then they just kind of go downhill from there. And then, you know, you just kind of plant the seeds for a Mania feud between the two. I would have Bayley See, and the thing is, who's the top name? I mean, I'm Naomi's my favorite, other than Naomi and Baki. Bianca Belair is my favorite. And so, but Bianca's on Raw, Naomi's on SmackDown, you know, but I don't even know if they're giving, you know, they just booked Naomi so terribly. I think Naomi should be the one who goes for the SmackDown Women's Championship at Mania. I don't know. Maybe Bayley loses it to somebody and then regains it, and then, or maybe she loses it to Sasha, and then they do a triple threat at Mania. We'll see. It's just they need to make some moves for sure. All right. Do I think David Benoit will ever be signed to a company like AEW? I can't ever see him go to WWE. He should be given a chance. I think that he go to AEW. Yeah, I don't think that would be any issue for sure. Thunder Rosa would be a good option. Yeah, I think Rosemary's still in an Impact, but Thunder Rosa, yeah, for sure. I'm in for that. I am in for that. All right, cool. So we're going to get to some headlines. James asking, do you think wrestlers like Tess, Umaga, Perry Saturn, and Hardcore Holloway ever be put into the WWE Hall of Fame? Umaga probably. I used to be a big Tess mark when he was a babyface. But I don't think they would put Tess in the Hall of Fame, unfortunately. Saturn, I don't think they would put him in there either, unfortunately. Holly has a chance. The only thing is that they never, other than a hardcore title and tag team title, like they never really did much. And I know he had that feud with Brock Lesnar for a little bit, which I actually enjoyed. But other than that, they really didn't do too much for him to make him a Hall of Famer. So that's unfortunate. Shane is asking, if Bayley feuds with Sasha and Mania, why not have them both belts on the line and have unification? No. I don't think there should be a unification match. I think make the split. First of all, you have SmackDown actually having good shows, so you don't want to put all the Raw roster on there and it just make you would have to make it you would have to cram it in 2 hours. And then again, the problem with SmackDown before was I called it Raw Light because it was just kind of a light version of Raw every week, and I just didn't like it. I like the split because the booking is already subpar. So essentially, if you end the split, SmackDown would just be Raw Light again. And I don't want to see that. SmackDown actually has been producing good shows by itself, being a standalone brand. If you compile all of the brand on SmackDown, it's just going to look like a light version of Raw. That just doesn't make sense to me. The SmackDown tag titles, the WWE women's tag titles, I'm cool with that being multi-branded because there's not a lot of tag teams. But yeah, I mean, there's plenty of women on Raw, plenty of women on SmackDown. If there's only one champion, you already have people like Naomi not being properly utilized. So if you only have one champ on both brands with all the female talent, no, that definitely wouldn't make sense. So, all right, so let's get to some headlines. No, I don't think AEW should go to 3 hours. No. See, again, I don't think that makes sense. I mean, have two brands. You have plenty of female talent on each brand. And when you bring them up from NXT, you'll have even more women's talent on each brand. Okay, so right now you have on Raw, you have Sasha, Asuka, Nia. You had Kairi Sane, but she's gone. Liv Morgan, Ruby Riott, Iconics, but they're more tag team. Shayna Baszler. So you have plenty of talent. SmackDown, you have Bayley, Lacey Evans, Naomi, Carmella, Dana Brooke. So you have plenty of talent. So you have two shows, plenty of talent. You should definitely split it. I think there should be an evolution. I think there should be an NXT evolution. NXT has the best women's roster right now. All right. So let's do the headlines. So it's fans' choice headlines. Again, do the hashtag headlines. All right. So if you do the hashtag headlines, then we will go ahead and do it that way. All right. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, you know what time it is. Headlines. Here we go. All right. Let's see what y'all got. For hashtag headlines. Okay. Cool. Happy birthday, Elvis. Yeah, so Nia Jax suspended. I'm trying to dig around and see why, because there had to be something. I heard a couple of things, but I'm not quite sure why Nia Jax was suspended. I heard a couple of things, but I'm not quite sure. So we shall see. I mean, we shall see why she is, she's suspended. So very interesting of why Nia Jax is, will be suspended indefinitely, according to Pat Buck, who made himself GM for a night. Pat Buck is Raw GM and Scrap Iron Adam Pearce is SmackDown GM. I know she needs some time off, but I heard a couple of things. I'm just trying to see why she needs some time off. The Rock. Well, it wasn't just him. It was he partnered for the purchase, so he's partnering. So he's part owner of the XFL. So that's pretty cool, actually. I think it's a good call. Now, as far as Vince is concerned, it was to me. Vince is just a tried and true WWE guy, man. So he could try the XFL again and. It could have worked. I think it had potential. I watched like the first week or two, and then the Saturday afternoon games, man, to me was just like, I'm so used to college football on Saturday. Like my Saturdays, from September to December and all the bowl games after that. So really, yeah. So from September to December, my Saturdays are full of watching college football. Like I love college football. It's like 1A is wrestling and like 1 like B is college football. I like college football like almost as much as I like wrestling. Just like really close. I love college football. So that was my Saturdays. I was watching college football. So I just couldn't see myself watching XFL when that's, I spend 3 months of my year just doing that with college football. So, I just didn't really stick with me. So we'll see what The Rock does. I still think it has potential. I like the fact that it gives people alternative spots. I like the fact that it gives people jobs. So, yeah, I'm totally cool with that. So, you know, for instance, Cardale Jones, you know, Ohio State national champion. It gave him an opportunity. So I'm cool with that. So hopefully this, you know, and it gives coaches opportunities too. So I think it's a great call, man. I love it. I'm totally cool with it because it gives people opportunities again. So people need jobs, man, especially in this COVID era. People need jobs. And so I'm glad that this allows people to, you know, have jobs who, when it shut down, you know, they were basically jobless again. So now this gives them an opportunity to get a job again. So it has to be a huge relief, actually. So I'm happy about that for sure. James, I heard that WWE is planning another draft in October. And truth of that, yeah. So that would be interesting about that draft rumor. I'm cool with it. Why not? I mean, I like the draft. I like the draft idea. I just don't. I'm wondering why they decided to take it away from WrestleMania, because WrestleMania is kind of like a reset every year. So I actually prefer the draft around post WrestleMania, then some random month at the end of the year. So I don't know. It's just kind of weird to me. I think I prefer post, you know, post Raw. I mean, post WrestleMania. Richard, we'll talk. Raw Underground. Ugh. How would I make it work? I would not make it work. Richard, I would have someone like a Babatunde. I would revolve it around pushing someone from the PC, like a Babatunde. I think Babatunde is a perfect person to revolve the Raw Underground. 8 people every week. That would be my, as a heel. Like I would that would be the thing. So the Ohio State Buckeyes. I am a Columbus, Ohio, born and bred. I live in the burbs now, the suburbs. But yeah, I'm still Columbus, man. Suburban Columbus. I was born in the hood, the near east side of Columbus, in the hood, and spent most of my childhood, actually into my adult life, moved into another hood. And so I moved to the suburbs, moved like a little bit before marriage. I started to live in the burbs, and then since I've been married, and then I actually moved further out from downtown, kind of in the country now. So I love where I live. I love the neighborhood. It's, God is blessing me, man. So blessed. That's right, Chad. All about the Ohio State Buckeyes. Got a flag somewhere in my office. I got a flag somewhere. I know I kept. I think. Yeah, I see it. I see it. It's over there. So I have, this is my studio area, and then my theater area is on the other side of my cave. So I have a suite to myself. So this is my office and podcast area. Actually, this table behind me, that's the thing about the Patreon. I need y'all's help, man. Patreon. I'm actually purchasing another laptop. Because I have a whole, I have a big old box full of a whole new brand new podcast setup. I have brand new mics, four brand new headphones, a big old mixer. I have a huge setup. I have four chairs. Actually, the chairs are actually up right now on the podcast table. And then you see the screen back there. I use the screen. It's a TV too. It's actually a Roku TV that I use as a screen and a second monitor. That's like an all-purpose thing, man. I use it as a second monitor and a screen and actually watch TV on it. I actually watch TV three ways in my suite. I use that, and then I have a second monitor that I watch TV with, and then I have a theater system on the other side of my suite area. And so I have a big theater screen on the other side with a nice leather sectional. I spoiled myself. I treat myself to have a nice suite, have a nice man cave. So yeah, it's my own extension of our house, and it's pretty cool. All right, so cool. That's right, the man cave. The man cave, the feather cave, the feather cave. I've actually interviewed Rod Smart. He hate me. I might contact him again to see his thoughts on the XFL. Yeah, I've had he hate me on the show before. Cool. Those are some good headlines. All right, so Raw and SmackDown grades. Let's do Raw and SmackDown grades. What would y'all give Raw and SmackDown grades? And yeah, like I said, give to the Patreon. Trying to upgrade my equipment. I'm trying to upgrade my my webcam too, PNP Nation. So I need y'all's help, man. Let's join the Patreon to upgrade my. Well, they upgraded my equipment. Like I said, I bought a new. Brand new podcast studio, a brand new, but I need a new webcam and I need a new laptop. So Patreon, help a brother out. Y'all love the PNP show. Every week I get thousands of people who watch it. We have so much fun every week. We're a family with the PNP Nation. Go check out do the Patreon. It's only $6 a month, guys. I mean, come on. I really don't, you know, ask for much. So if I literally had 20 people pledging $6 a month in 2 or 3 months, I'd be set as far as getting a laptop. Really one based on, you know, what I already have. So yeah, it's cool based on the people who are already members, who are already Patreon members. So let's build that Patreon up, man, so I can get some new equipment. So I appreciate that. All right, go ahead and grade the Raw and SmackDown. Elvis said Raw, SmackDown B minus, Raw was unsatisfactory. SmackDown C plus, Raw D. Yeah, I think SmackDown was a B minus. I think SmackDown was pretty solid, actually. That's right. Become a member, everyone. And as soon as this COVID crap is over, Mo, you'll get your second shirt. I hope you're wearing your first one. And actually, Mo, you'll be, message me because, we got to get together. And anybody else who are patrons, message me, patrons for 6 months. 6 months, you get to become a co-host. And Mo's been a patron for more than 6 months now. So he gets another T-shirt. He actually has one. And he gets another T-shirt, and he gets the co-host. So, absolutely. So message me, and we will get you on to be a co-host on the show. Chad says Raw C minus because of Underground, but Samoa Joe. Yeah, I like the Samoa Joe part for sure. I really, really liked the Samoa Joe part. Almost brought up to a C plus with standing up to Seth SmackDown C. Yeah, yeah. I think this is how this is where I land, but I'll give on the other side though. SmackDown C minus, Raw B minus. SmackDown B minus, Raw C minus. Yeah, Raw was, yeah, it was very up and down, more down than up to me. SmackDown B minus, Raw B minus from Alonzo. Robbie gives SmackDown an A minus and a Raw B minus. I want to be in Robbie's class because he gives good grades. Evan's doing all right. He has some house stuff to take care of. WWE should bring back Chavo to help Dominic. I think you asked this last week. I'm all for a Chavo sighting, but at the same time, I think it would be a one-off. I mean, they really wouldn't do much with Chavo if they brought him back. So, Patreon guys, patreon.com/pan. All you gotta do, look, just go there. All you gotta do, just go there. Pancakes and Power Slams Patreon. Let's get this equipment, man. I need the PNP Nation. Are you loyal? Are you ready to rock? Let's join together. Let's band together. We have fun every week. So go to the Patreon so your boy can get some upgrades. Thank you very much. No, I did not see Talking Shop and Mania. I think he's still concussed. Again, I'm cool with Joe being in the commentary booth, man, for sure. Cool. All right, so let's get some flavor of the week. Yeah, do you think he just got cleared? Yeah, if that's the case, sure. I mean, if he wants to get back in the ring, sure, but unless WWE's making him because of that money he makes. But I still think he's in a really good spot, man. I mean, he gets injured, he gets concussed. I mean, he's been injured multiple times since coming into the WWE. And so if he makes the same money being a commentator, like I said before, that's how you do it. That's how you do it. Do it. Do it now. All right, flavor of the week. Let's do this.
It is now time for the flavor of the week.
All right. What I want to do to the flavor of the week? Hashtag FOTW. Let's see which one. Oh, yeah, we already have one. I already got the best SummerSlam main event of all time. Who y'all got? Best SummerSlam main event of all time. I'm going to go through them real quick. Why not? We got 5 minutes. Let's see. 88. Mega Powers, yeah. Versus the Mega Bucks. Jesse Ventura is a special guest referee. Yes, I liked that. That was really good. 89 was Beefcake and Hogan against Savage and Zeus. Match made in heaven. Match made in heaven, match made in hell. Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of that one. Beefcake getting the main event spot, though.
How about that? 90 Warrior and Rude. That was a good one, but I wouldn't say the best. Yeah, I think you've answered it, Alonzo. I think Brett and Bulldog at Wembley was probably the best. That was a really good one. You think Hogan and Beefcake against Savage and Juice was the best? Ooh, that's a good one too. Brett Owen 94. Was that the main event though? Let me check and see. Sean and Razor 95. Let's see. 91 was Hogan and Warrior defeat. Oh no, that wasn't very good. Mustafa. Oh, that was the match made in heaven, match made in hell. Because Savage. Yeah, that's when Savage got married. Will you marry Elizabeth? 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 Will you marry me? Oh, yeah. Can't forget that. 92. 92. Those were good ones. SummerSlam's got some good main events. Brock and Angle 2003. Angles and Triple H, the Unsanctioned 2002. That was really good. TLC 2000. Was that the main event, though?
Oh, yeah. Elizabeth. Elizabeth.
93 was Luger and Yoko. No, I think we concluded that was one of the worst ones. I think 94 was probably Undertaker versus Undertaker. A lot of people think that's the worst one, but I actually liked probably because I liked the build so much. I really liked Undertaker versus Undertaker. Triple H and Rock wasn't main event though. Antoine. 95 was Diesel and Mabel. That's probably the worst one. Yeah, that was terrible. 96, Michaels and Vader. Yeah. Hart and Taker with Michaels as special guest referee. That one was me.
Elizabeth.
'98. Was Austin and Taker. Taker around that time was wasn't a big fan. Mankind beating Austin and Triple H, and then Triple H winning the next night. his first title, that was 99. 2000 was Rock and the Triple Threat. That was a good Triple Threat, actually. That was actually a pretty good Triple Threat. Yeah, I enjoyed that. That has to be up there. I really like that match. 2001 was Rock and Booker T. Oh, that was super happy. Booker T got a main event spot. He lost the title, though. 2002 was Rock and Brock, I believe. Yep. That one among the best, I wouldn't say. 2003 was tripping. That Elimination Chamber match. No, thank you. No. That wasn't very good. Four was Orton and Benoit. Interesting though, that was the main event. Yeah, very interesting. What else I got? 2005. Oh, nice. SummerSlam 96 was the first pay-per-view I watched live. I just started watching in the summer of 96. Nice. So you've been watching that. You've been retroactively getting some knowledge in the network. I might go through the rest of these main events next week. We'll see. Cool. But yeah, so far, Brett and Bulldog is the best one. Yeah, I would say so myself, for sure. All right, y'all. It's been a pleasure as always. 436 episodes in the books. Until next week, I am Chris Featherstone. Follow me at Chris Prolific. Right there. Hopefully by next week I'll be Dr. Chris, y'all. When you see this, you see, look, here's the running cliffhanger. All right. This is going to change when you come on and it says Dr. Chris, that means I'm official. So I hope it's next week. I'm literally waiting on emails. Today I got approved. Last Friday was my oral presentation. I told y'all. And I passed it on the spot, actually. Sometimes they put you through the ringer, but it was so good that I passed it on the spot. And so then I had to submit my final paper that I already submitted beforehand. I had to submit it again to get approved by the chair again. Now I have to go through the URR to get approved again, which they already approved. And then the CAO has to approve it, the abstract part, and then I'm done. And so I really hope that all of this, all it takes, I'm literally at a waiting game now. Like, I am done. I'm done with everything. I'm done with the oral presentation. I'm done with the dissertation. I'm completely done with everything. So I'm literally waiting on a string of emails to say, okay, this department approved you, this department approved it, this department. And so I got the chair, the head honcho, the committee chair, she approved it. So my hope is within the week, today, tomorrow, I'll get the other approval. And then at the end of the week, I'll get the other approval. And then I will officially be a doctor. Oh my gosh. It's just so real. It's so surreal to think about. So I'm just at a waiting game. So keep me in prayer. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Thanks. Appreciate it. Thanks much. All right, ladies and gentlemen, until next week, enjoy your week of wrestling. God bless. And always remember, when you become a doctor, everyone, what's up, doc? Nice. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate all the support. You can send that support over to Patreon so I can get some new equipment too. Always remember, I do it for you. Have a good night, everybody. God bless.